Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back with more Secure Freedom Radio, and we're going to talk right now with Benjamin Weingart, founder and CEO of Change Up Media, and also a contributor at the Federalist City Journal and Conservative Review. Ben, I wanted to talk about a piece you have about England deciding that Anjem Chowdhury, who is a loudmouth Islamist, horrible human being and recruiter for ISIS and the jihad worldwide, who they recently convicted of crimes related to supporting terrorism and the global jihad. And now they have to figure out what to do with him. And they seem to have come to what is an amazingly common sense solution for them, especially, that potentially putting a recruiter and radicalizer and cheerleader for the jihad in with the rest of the prison population might be a bad idea, since a lot of recruitment, conversion, and other stuff goes on there. Tell us a little bit about what their plan is.
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, thanks for having me, Jim. I often look at Europe as sort of where America will be in 10 or 15 or 20 years if we continue down this trajectory. So I'm often pretty critical of European policies when it comes to Islamization and not realizing that a multicultural society and a Sharia society cannot coexist, quote unquote. In Great Britain in particular, they did something that was pretty novel, and that was they undertook a review, and this is the UK's Interior Justice Ministry, undertook a review of basically the Islamization of the judicial system, the prison system, rather. And what they found was that the jihadist ideology spread throughout prisons, and it spread through a couple means. One was through Islamic supremacists themselves in the jails. Two was based upon the literature, so the ideology itself being spread freely. And three was through imams, through basically the lack of vetting of chaplains. And so the UK came to the novel conclusion that, in effect, they need to quarantine jihad. And I really think that quarantining jihad is the right paradigm for how the West should deal with Islamic supremacism broadly. The UK recognized the ideology was the problem, and the carriers of the ideology were the problem. And so basically, they are going to isolate Islamic supremacists in jail, root out quote-unquote extremist literature, and I wouldn't say extremist, I would say Islamic supremacist literature from prisons, and they're going to vet the chaplains. And I will caution that the devil is always in the details here, and better vetting is kind of a vague term, but nevertheless, what the UK did was highly rational, and something that every Western nation should be doing. And by the way, we have the very same problem that the UK has in our own prison systems here in the US.
And in many cases, that has been aided and abetted by the fact that our government has chosen Islamists to advise them on prison chaplains. I mean, there were gentlemen in the Bush administration who was the chief advisor for military chaplains and now himself in jail, Abdurrahman Alamoudi, who in many of these cases was providing the bad guys as the advisors to the U.S. military and others. So is this something that potentially we could implement here? Is there any restriction that would stop us from following this seemingly common sense policy?
Well, on the legal merits, I don't see any issue. And granted, I will put the caveat in that I am not a lawyer myself. But that said, if you want to look at the congressional record, fascinatingly, you can go back to 2003, and there was actually a hearing of the Senate Judiciary Committee. I would urge your listeners to check it out, where of all people, actually, Chuck Schumer, Dianne Feinstein, and various other Democrats as well in the Senate were urging our federal government to undertake an effort to actually root out Islamic supremacist groups who at that time were under investigation, one of them being ISNA, the Islamic Society of North America, who were, of course, basically guarding the hen house. These were Islamic supremacist-linked groups who were the very people training the chaplains going into both the military and our prison system. And that is an absurd situation to be in when you literally have those peddling the most poisonous ideology overseeing the vetting and the training of the religious experts going to prison systems. And what that hearing showed was that Wahhabism had spread wildly throughout prisons. And in fact, there was no follow-up on it. I can't see any, because if you look more than a decade later, you still have this issue of Wahhabist ideology spreading throughout the prison system. And of course, our government is now in a worse position than it was back then, because at least back then, even someone like liberal Senator Chuck Schumer recognized that there was a problem with Islamic supremacist ideology and even used the word jihad. We can't use the word jihad. We can't even say radical Islamic supremacism. We can't say Islamic supremacism, et cetera, today.
So if we're going to change this, it's not just the prisons. It's not just the rest of it. You mentioned ISNA, the Islamic Society of North America, CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, the Islamic Circle of North America. There are plenty of these front groups whose main function seems to be or is obfuscating the encroachment and path to submission that this this ideology is using to push itself forward. How are we going to take them on if right now they seem to be the ones who have the attention of the government, the media, and their fellow travelers and useful idiots on the left?
Yeah, and the countering violent extremism paradigm, which we went from basically a war on terror, which, as you rightly know, terror is a tactic. We didn't have a war on blitzkrieg in World War II. But as you rightly note, I mean, we went from that to countering violent extremism. And if you look at President Obama's countering violent extremism summit that he had last year or 2 years ago, the very people who were basically there to promulgate policy and the folks who are the federal government is now outsourcing countering violent extremism policy to at the local level have been found to be associated with either mosques or groups that peddle Islamic supremacist ideology. So again, if we look at where we were in the military and the prisons over 10 years ago, we are now there writ large. Our entire national security policy when it comes to jihad is being, as you termed it, we are submitting basically to the will of Islamic experts who are Islamic supremacist experts. And that's a scandal that has devastating national security implications.
They have whitewashed our national security apparatus. What can we do to change that, Ben?
Well, I think it starts with Sun Tzu, actually, as a lot of these things do, and that is you can't defeat an enemy if you don't know who your enemy is. And so we need to basically, as the Center for Security Policy does and several other outfits do as well, examine very clearly, without political correctness, take the blinders off, what the enemy actually says themselves. You know, it's interesting that the Obama administration and even some Republicans as well say that who are we to judge what Islam is? Who are we to be Islamic scholars? And yet they say Islam is a religion of peace and that there's a nihilistic ideology out there that is subverting it. Well, you can't have it both ways. People in the West who have never studied Islam, who have never read the Quran, the Hadith, etc., should not be opining on what Islam is. But they should listen to what our enemy says they believe about their religion and what their enemy says the text says. And by the way, even if Islamic supremacists are wrong as to their interpretation of Islam, it does not really matter because there are millions of people out there who subscribe to that ideology and want to foist it upon the entire world, subvert our constitution, undermine our society, and ultimately make us submit.
Ben Weingarten, founder and CEO of Change Up Media and columnist at The Federalist, City Journal, and Conservative Review, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jim. Really appreciate it.
That's going to wrap up Secure Freedom Radio for today. We'll be back tomorrow with more information to keep you well-armed in the war for the free world. This is Jim Hansen, and we're out.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.